Okay, so this is Larry Goldfarb here with Patrick Gruner from Germany, and we're talking about how to conduct a segment or how to conduct a training online during our modern era of social distancing.
That's true. So maybe I just show you the setup I've been.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, sure. I just turned the camera around just a sec. I'm using my, here. So I go a little bit back. So that's like my online classroom here. Uh-huh. And I've got like lighting here, and I've got another lighting over there. And I've got two cameras set up.
Nice.
And this is like my computer thing where I hopefully see the people doing ATM teaching. And actually, microphone wise, I bought me these little things here. Let's just see, Ceremonic they are called, and it's like wireless microphones with a clip-on lavalier, and it hooks directly into my computer. There's the receiver, it's just loading, it's somewhere down here. And so this is a setup I'm trying to use, and but I'm not really I haven't really tested it. That's going to be the project for tomorrow. I came home last night from Frankfurt teaching there, and then basically Germany is locking down now and I have to find a solution. So my questions are really like, I just heard in the little break, how do you call it? Breakup rooms or breakout rooms?
Breakout. Breakout is something else. It's usually kind of sad when you break up with someone. Yes. You know?
So in the breakout rooms, one of the people attending there said you did an advanced seminar with two cameras and people could choose which one they wanted to see. How are you doing that?
Okay, so but I did it in a much more low tech way than you. So okay. I had one camera, which was my laptop, and then I just signed into the meeting from my phone, and I set up my phone on so it had a different angle, and people could choose either angle, and then they could highlight either one.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't work for the recording.
This is the next question. Which camera is you recorded when you do? Like, I'm going probably, if everybody's joining, that's not really clear yet, but it's going to be like 35 people or something.
Well, here's the thing. I have a thing which I played with, which is like a robot camera person. So it sits between the tripod and the camera. I wear a little medallion, and then when I move, it follows. The camera does the autofocus, you know. And but that would have to be, you would have to have somebody else be the host of the meeting, and they would have to select that as what is being recorded.
Okay.
You know, I think that capacity exists, but that's beyond mine. You know, so when I do it, when it's live, people have two cameras and they have the option of which one they use. I mean, the other way to do that would be to have the second camera be recording, right? So you can give someone the options, the possibility to record. Mm-hmm. And they could record it to their camera rather than to the cloud, and they could upload that to wherever you're storing your files.
Okay.
That's how you would get a second perspective online.
Okay, so right now, because I can manually switch between the two cameras, and then probably I'm going to co-teach with Ingrid Wilczek. So we are going to be at least two people in the room, and then one of us can also move the camera around, and I manually switch in between. So mm-hmm. We're going to see how that really works.
You can give that a try.
Yeah, how do you invite for such a thing? Like, I mean, that's going to be like a 10-day class, and it will be like I start every day in the morning with for an hour an ATM, then there will be a break, and then I do 1.5 hours FI session. It's the third year. So I hopefully get a client coming here, and I do a demonstration, and I explain, and
Well, wait a second. So, if I may?
Yes, of course.
You're making a classic beginner's mistake.
Okay.
You're thinking, how can I put what I do live online, instead of thinking about how can I, to use the catchy word, leverage, you know, how can I make best use of what the online situation allows for?
Okay.
You know, so it's just one segment. So I would suggest, instead of, you know, like, how else can you teach people to think about FI? You know, I don't know if you know this. Once when I was in Australia, and I'm not talking more about how this came about, but when I was in Australia, I'm going to shut your mic off just so we don't get the echo. There we go. You can unmute it when you want to talk. I was teaching in Australia. This is probably, I don't know, 8 years ago. And I had to teach a week-long advanced training. It was FI, and I had two broken arms. So, you know, there I had to think about, no, demonstration will not work. So what are all the other ways of doing that? And I had some, you know, I had a lot of different options and ideas. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. Well, maybe it's a little bit here. But so what are the things that you can do in that, in this situation? You could use the one of the FI videos from Moshe, or a video of an FI you've already given, or that they've already seen, right? And then one thing, this is something I just started playing with. It's the reverse of what we always do. Have people make an ATM out of that FI, right? And that's something that they could do on their own, and then work in small groups. Like, each person does something on their own, and then put three people together, have them come up with an ATM, and then have them teach it to another group of three. And then do that with each other, and then talk to each other about it. And then watch the FI together as a whole group and ask people what they see differently. Right? So that leverages the medium. It gives people a way of interacting and reflecting on what they're seeing, and in a way that they're not used to doing it.
Okay, and these meetings would happen in these breakout sessions, because
exactly.
Probably they can't meet live now in Germany. So
no, they can't. But also you could give people assignments like over the weekend, and they could use, you know, Facebook Messenger or Skype or WhatsApp. You could give an assignment where, like, if somebody has a study buddy, and you could say, you know, find your own study buddy, and people who don't have one, let me know, and I'll just pair you up with somebody, and give them something where they talk outside of class. That's one way to do that, and where they don't have to have it during the class time. They can find a time.
So let's say I would do something like a breakout room for like half an hour. Okay. And I need to keep on hosting the thing even when I'm not watching. And okay,
that's right. But you can shut your camera off and put yourself on mute and go make a cup of tea or take a shower or walk the dog or whatever. I don't know. But you also have the possibility of going and visiting the group. And that's a really cool thing, because you can make sure that people are actually doing the exercise. You know, like, I think my job during a small group exercise, first of all, are people playing the game, and are they playing nicely with each other? And how can I help them? You know, do they understand what they're doing? So I usually go and check with a couple of groups. Not the same group every time and not the same people, but that gives me a way to have a connection with a smaller group too.
And you allow the computer to choose who is in the groups.
Not always.
So you can decide about that.
Yeah, you can put people. You can put people in groups, or you can look at the groups that the computer made and switch people around.
Oh, okay. So you can just drag and drop them to another group.
I don't think it's quite that easy, but you can select them and put them in another room, I think.
Okay. So this is all really, yeah, it's going to be exciting. I mean, I hope that the whole situation is not really freaking up here. It's really, really like dense now. I mean, I don't know about the States, but here people are really...
Nobody knows scared. About the States because we don't have tests.
Okay.
I'm not going to make any comments about that. But
no, don't believe that.
Look, you know, people would be stupid not to be afraid.
Yes.
Right? And we need to be afraid because that makes us act more intelligently. But I talked about this in the webinar yesterday. Prince Pearl said... fear is excitement without breath. Fear is excitement without breath. I think that's a nice thing to think about. One of my friends who was on the meeting yesterday, Seth, sent me a quote from Oh Sensei, the founder of Judo, who said, fear is an opportunity for action. That's kind of good too, you know? But look, learning is an emotional experience. And I think just like in regular class, I think it behooves us to address that and to make it as a place where people can get support. You know, I mean, I don't think we have to necessarily help people process their emotions, but getting people engaged, acknowledging how people are feeling, giving them different ways of connecting with each other, giving them something worthwhile to do, all that is good. Whoops, you shut yourself off. Wait. There you go.
Yeah, I think actually for the situation we are facing that they are containing people at homes, it's actually great that I offer something like that. They can do, they can meet, we can have a conversation together through the internet. I'm just a little bit worried that I get the tech side of it working, but I probably will.
Well, let me tell you, if I can do it, you can do it. I mean, people are watching this, they don't know this, but we've worked together in quite a few trainings and we've known each other for a long time. And, you know, I've appreciated your finesse with that. And I'm also saying that because I imagine if people are watching this, a lot of people are not going to have, they're not even going to know the questions to ask, let alone some of the setup that you're doing, you know, which you do with a good bit of facility. I could do it. It would take me a lot of time to figure that stuff out, you know? And so I would, here's the thing, the more complicated the tech is, the more it's going to split your attention or the more you're going to need somebody else to do it. And paying attention to the people in the room, remembering what you're doing, and responding to them. I mean, you know, like today, I should apologize to people. You know, we were going to continue this after the meeting. And I was a little bit tired, so I just ended the meeting instead of shutting the recording off. But, you know, that's just because the more I pay attention to the tech part, the less bandwidth I have for being a teacher.
So, I understand. I easily can imagine. That's really why I want to do it also in a co-teaching situation, not all on my own in the beginning. And maybe, I don't know yet how to do that. I have somebody really running the camera. I don't have to worry about that. But, it's all so new. I mean, I have to see how I can set it up. You know, my daughter is now working with me and she's slowly moving into an assistant trainer position. But she has 3 kids. And schools are closed, so I can't even have her here with me. And that's probably also a problem many of our trainees might have, that when they have kids, they can't really attend unless they're lying on the floor, having the kids playing on them while they do the ATM. You are turned off. I can't hear you, Larry.
Yeah, I turned it off so we didn't get feedback. Well, this is where that Crisp AI app would be helpful because they can be in the room and really it does great noise cancellation. So they don't have to be spatially and physically isolated from people, but they can be sonically isolated. So it might make it easier. And look, I think we have to make room for, you know, it's real life. You know, babies cry at concerts. It's what happens. And I mean, if it's distracting, it can be a problem, but I think there can be some leeway for that. You know, maybe you teach ATMs, you do stuff that people could do with their family members. You make that part of the class. I mean, we used to, in some trainings, invite people to have their family members come for just an ATM or, you know, if they were local.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I'm actually thinking about it. I mean, I have 5 trainings going on right now, and I'm wondering if I can, like, have everybody join in the morning for the ATM, and then I just do the rest of the day for the Berlin group. And then, I mean, 2 weeks later, I have a 2-week segment for the Munich group, which is a very different phase of the training. But still, I could, like, offer each of my trainees to just join in every morning and do an ATM, which I'm live teaching, and something like that. So it's all still spinning in my brain, what, how to really set this up and how to do it. But I'm still, so how do you actually do the invitations? Like, if you do, let's say I have several parts of the day where I want to invite like 150 people for the first hour, and then I want to only invite 30 people for the rest of the day. How would I set
up? You send them different invitations, and you use the email system that you have set up to do that.
Okay.
You just are going to have to tag people.
So I can, I don't have to do the invitation through Zoom, but I can do it through my database.
Yeah. So in other words, Zoom will give you the link.
Okay.
And then you can put the link in your email.
Okay. And that's very easy. I can filter the people very easily. That's
yes, I know you can.
Yeah. And you do. And you do the you do the invitation for every day, or do you? Is it like an? How would that be technically done?
Well, you know, I get to give you that famous all purpose good for everything trainer answer. So, for Amsterdam, the trainer was calling in and all the trainees were in the same room. You know, it's the opposite of this. When I teach classes online, I usually, if it like it's a workshop, I make each day a separate meeting. And then people have to register for the day, but that makes it easier because I know who's going to show up. But these are only meeting once a week usually. So you might want to do that for each week, right? And then it's up to you to take attendance, right? And you'll be able to do that. But if you don't have, if you don't make people register, then you don't know who was available to show up. But if you have a list of who's registered, it's much easier to check off of that smaller list the people who actually did show up. So, you know, making it as simple as you can for yourself. And
so
I think it's,
no,
I'm sorry?
Sorry. There's no way like Zoom asking to track who entered and left the room.
I think there is, but then you have to pay for their webinar service and it's more expensive.
Yeah, I saw that. And everybody's saying it's not really worth it. So,
but well, it is worth it for that one reason. Because it will link with, well, I don't know, it'll link with my mail system. And it probably will, you know, you can, I don't know how it works with databases, but it is more made for somebody who wants that kind of interactability with a sophisticated system. If you're running a small class by yourself, not necessary.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering about that because, I mean, I don't care about the, I mean, I think it would be like 50 euros a month to extra on the webinar interface. And for what the project I'm having, it doesn't really matter if I spend these 50 extra euros on that. But if it's not worthwhile, or I didn't see the advantage yet why we would do it. then they say there is more sophisticated webinar software out there. But in the end, as far as I saw, Zoom is the only one offering the unlimited numbers of cameras I can watch, because usually it's always otherwise around. You can have like 10,000 people, but you can only see four of these people at the same time, and it's not worthwhile. So, yeah. I think that's, at least from my list, that's what I was able to think of tonight. And I probably have much more questions. But as I think for as of now, thanks, Larry.
Yeah, you're welcome, Patrick. Look, there's a big difference between what you can do technologically, what's possible, and you have a good understanding of that, right? And what you need to do. And what you need to do is to provide a situation where, you know, people can get the support that they need, and you don't need all the bells and whistles, you know. And I have been distracted by them, but I think of, you know, like how successful those classes were when they were just auditory, when you were just talking. I mean, that was, people got a lot out of it. I learned a lot. I mean, I like making phone calls. Sometimes I'd rather not see people, you know, because I spend a lot of time working with, you know, other people who are in different places using this medium, doing the AYA day group, coaching people, whatever, and seeing them. But, you know, I think you would probably do fine with one camera, you know, at least to start. And, you know, I usually put the camera where I'm looking from, you know, not the end of the table or the side, but from the corner. You know, and I think about not sitting at that corner. That gives people the biggest view. Some people use those fisheye cameras, you know, I can't remember what they're called, but the sport ones, because they have a wider view. So you could try that, you know, for the FR stuff. I have been recording my advanced trainings, and sometimes we just use a camera for that. I'm not broadcasting them. And we use different kinds of cameras, and then I put those online. What are you saying? Wait, hold on.
Hear the last few sentences. I couldn't hear your last few sentences because you were turned off. Either my line is slow or your line is slow.
Okay.
Anyhow, so I was also thinking about, I mean, did you ever think about using an action cam? Like I have like a hat thing where I could clip on my hero. And then I was wondering if I might do something like that and have the action cam on my forehead while I'm doing an FI. But this is, I mean,
so the other video service I'm checking out, I don't remember the name of it. It allows you to do picture in a picture.
Okay.
And so I was thinking about doing that, like having an outside view camera and then having the teacher's perspective camera.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would need somebody like you to set it up for me, because it's like, I just think about how much time it would take me to do that. And I'd rather be cooking or going for a walk.
I mean, I could actually imagine to have a little drone flying through the room and just being there, but that would be too noisy, at least for the time being.
Yeah, look, I think right now what you want to do is think about it from the pedagogical point of view. You know, what experience do people need, or what experience do you want to create? What environment for learning do you want to create that is going to... you know, it's going to be different from the normal class, because it's going to be way more on the high tech end and way less on the high touch end. And one way to think about that is, you know, especially in the older AY lessons, Moshe has people touch themselves a lot. So, you know, how can we incorporate that? People touch themselves and be a passenger on their own movements in an ATM. Today we did AY 90, lengthening the arms sitting cross-legged, which is a really bad title. But it's one of these lessons where you're lengthening your head and turning it. You're really giving yourself an FI. And so, you know, doing that and then having people watch each other do that and coach each other, and how can they be more gentle with that? You know, it's not like pulling your head up, but it's really, how do you keep your hands soft and find that freedom of movement at the top of the neck? Well, that's a cool lesson, and that lends itself to other ways of interacting and other ways of the students learning from and with each other. And, you know, in for me in the last, well, actually all along, you know, we've talked about this. I'm interested in the social aspects of learning and the how the students can learn from and with each other. And, you know, as a trainer, I had to get over the feeling like, oh, I'm not doing my job because I'm not up in front doing something. But I think sometimes getting out of the way, giving people a way to interact with each other. And when they're in small groups, they can also ask a question and you can go and visit them.
Mm.
So it gives you a different way to interact with people.
Yeah, so you really, because that was one of my most fears about this online thing, that I don't see how they really can socially interact. But actually, you're putting that a little bit to aside. I didn't know about this breakout room, so that's really cool to see and how it works. And then I actually wrote in the invitation, I wrote everybody that if they have the possibility to be two or three in one room, it would be great. But I don't know what's happening. It could just be that nobody's allowed to leave the house anymore unless you go shopping. You're turned off.
Yeah, it's like I forget to unmute myself. I have with these online classes tried a couple of different ways to get people to meet together. So because they can do things with each other, right? That wouldn't happen otherwise. But that doesn't always happen, or even when people want to, it doesn't always happen. So. But you could have people work with someone else that they're living with, not somebody else in the training, for people who do have somebody else there.
Yeah, this is what I have suggested everybody to at least try. Some wrote back that they probably, people living on their own, probably won't find anybody.
Maybe they have a pet. There.
Sorry?
Well, you could have them do stuff that they could do with their family member or dog or cat.
Okay.
If they have fish, it's a little difficult. Yeah. But, you know, snakes have skeletons, so.
But a different braid.
Yes, hopefully we're not functioning out of our reptilian brain at this moment. Yeah. So, Peggy, I saw that you figured out how to join in. Good to see you. I don't know if you want to say anything, but since you're here.
Sorry, I got busy with work stuff. You didn't tell us how to get back in, so, and then I realized maybe I could just try the same link as this morning.
Well, I mistakenly disconnected people because I was tired, and I had planned to just shut the meeting off. So it was my bad, but you figured it out on your own. So I was just wondering if you were here, since Patrick and I are talking, if you had questions or reflections or suggestions.
No, I think just hearing, you know, and talking yesterday in my breakout group with people, I got some ideas. And because I've been on AY a day on and off, I think I feel comfortable with it. Now we just have to get the clients. And I mean, the payment thing was helpful.
I'm glad the payment thing was helpful. Here's my question. So Patrick is going to be teaching a segment for one of his trainings in Germany next week. And we've been talking about how to do it online, both technologically and pedagogically, you know, how to set up the training. I'm wondering, you know, thinking about attending a training segment or an advanced training, would you have questions for us or suggestions about doing that, since you're here with us?
Is it more than just Patrick or their assistants?
No, it'll be Patrick and somebody else teaching together.
So two people.
if
you're demonstrating FI, you have to do good camera work. That's my expertise. So the second person, if you're together, could be doing that. You're muted.
Yeah. It reminded me of something I wanted to tell Patrick. So this is not my idea. I'm stealing this idea from somebody else. Actually, I'll tell you the story. Once, many years ago, I was at a training, and somebody asked David Burson, what's it like to get a lesson from, and I don't remember who it was, Ruthie, Yohanan, Gabi, Moshe, but David lay down on the table, and it was like, well, this is a Ruthie lesson, and this is a Yohanan lesson, and whatever. But he lay on the table and had the invisible practitioner give him the lesson.
Yeah.
So sometimes what I do when I'm demonstrating an FI, I talk about in music how we have two different kinds of music. So we have modern music, which tells you the notes to play, but not where to put your fingers. And then we have tablature, which we use for guitars, where it tells you where to put your fingers, but not what notes you're playing. So usually when we give instructions for FI, it's tablatura. We show people where to put their fingers. When you're the invisible practitioner, you're showing them the result. So basically you're doing the ATM, that would be the FI. And you're asking people, where would you put your hands to do this? So that's kind of a fun way to flip the game with them. And, you know, it can be a really short thing, you know. I lie down, you know, and I'm doing this, and someone's pulling my arm this way and then that way, and I'm, oh, hey, wait, don't pull my arm that hard. You know, I talk to them, and, you know, pulling and turning one way and the other way, but I'm showing what happens, and then you could ask people, where would you put your hands? How would you stand to do this? And then they could pantomime somebody on the table, and that's a great way to get people to start to talk about their self-use. Because then you could show them what the teacher is doing and they could play with that.
So what would be your plan, say, for the first morning, had you been in person? What was your agenda?
Oh, we've already talked about that. Patrick is going to start with an ATM.
Okay.
Why don't you talk about it, Patrick? Okay.
So that's easy. And you can, you know, you have the gallery view. They'll be in their homes, so they'll be separate.
Yeah, they will be separate in their homes.
So, you know, it's important if you've been on AY a day and if you've ever taught or even not.
No, I've never been there.
Why don't you get on before next week? You have lots of opportunities and see how it's done. But you have to have them place the camera so that you can see them. So you have to know, give them an idea ahead of time what the position's going to be. And if there's, you know, big movement, how they can place their camera, because that's how you're going to be able to teach them and guide them. You know, for FI, like I say, it's the camera work. And if you have another person with you, they can be doing that. Otherwise, that could be cumbersome, but I'm not sure. I heard you talk about something on your head. I don't know if that was a camera or a microphone.
That was a camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the idea of an action, the action cams you could wear on your head when you're climbing a mountain or when you go horseback riding in the sea, something like that.
Yeah.
But that was more a joke. I'm not set up for that for the next 2 weeks.
Well, and Peggy, you know, my experience is, what I was telling Patrick before, you know, there's the best of all possible worlds. But, you know, we've done training segments or parts of segments. I've done parts of advanced trainings and done some online courses. And usually I just use the camera from my laptop and I think about it where I position it when I'm demonstrating something. Sometimes I've used.
Make sure you don't block the camera, you know, when you're going to another place.
That's right. And look, and you're going to mess up and people will tell you.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. And that's the thing. It's the same thing I said during our conversation earlier. You don't have to be perfect. People are there. They'll remind you.
Yeah.
And some things that you thought of doing may not work, and you'll have to modify it.
Right.
You know, and like I said before, the worst thing is you're going to learn something.
Yeah, I mean, people will know that this is a you know, first time thing, and also they'll be grateful that you're actually having the training. So.
Yeah, I think so too. And one of the things we talked about before you joined us, because we've been doing this for a while, is how to think about not just taking the live experience and putting it online, but how to make take advantage of the possibilities that we have through this medium. And if you listen to the recording later, you'll find a couple of examples of those.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and I'm guessing as a host, you would leave everybody unmuted for most of the time, because you know, unless it's a Q&A specifically,
yes.
Unmute everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess this is all stuff we will.
No. You'd want to mute everybody. Excuse me. You want to mute everybody and let them unmute themselves.
Okay.
When they want to speak, because otherwise you get background sound and makes the recording really hard to listen to.
You're right.
Yeah.
You know, you'll need to do some training for people who are not familiar. Many people, there's so many online things. I mean, I had one before I got to you this morning, which is why I was late. So a lot of people are familiar, but you'll need some time to just train people. But it's pretty simple. Mm-hmm. In my breakout group yesterday, one woman from Seattle, where she needs to have this medium. She didn't know how to show the video. She didn't know how to unmute herself. So, you know, we coached her through that. And so it's a big learning curve for her.
See, and you can make that a part of the class, Patrick. So at the very first class, you get people in small groups and have them do that with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great idea, Larry. And I have to do that. I mean, see, until Friday, I thought I will be in Berlin this week. So it's a decision within I was still teaching yesterday in Frankfurt, but I was already online ordering all the stuff I would need to set up that room today. And now I've got 2 days left to, it starts Wednesday morning, 10 o'clock. And yeah. I said, I will be available all day Tuesday for everybody to just call in and do all the technical stuff with me. And then in the very morning of when we really start doing it, of course, it's a great idea to put them in the breakout rooms and then just learn with each other how to unmute and mute and turn video on and off and maybe even lying down and where do you put your camera so other people could see you. Right. That's going to be a part of the online learning process.
Yeah. Sure.
And then I probably do a very... very soft jaw lesson in the very first morning, so they just relax in the faces and don't have to move a lot.
So, there you go. Yeah. But then when you're doing something in such a small part, then the cameras have to be really well placed, or the whole body too.
This is basically just like a starter. So I don't really need to see everything what they're doing. And I mean, they have been doing
all that before. You want to see their breathing, you know, their alignment and everything. But it will be interesting. I think it's going to be a big learning curve.
That's for sure. That's what I wrote to everybody. I will be learning more than you will.
Well, and like, think about this, though. In a regular ATM class, you're not going to sit up close to somebody's face and watch their face.
No.
You're going to be far enough away that, you know, like if you got 25 cameras, you can still, you know, on your own, pick someone and take a look at them. And so if somebody is looking uncomfortable or whatever, you have more of an ability to zoom in here in a way than you would in another setting.
Can you remind me how you do that? Is that the speaker view and then you click on somebody? Okay.
Yeah, well, you could choose to pin someone's video. So like if you, I think everybody has the option. If you look in your rectangle on those three dots, do you get the option to pin the video?
This, Larry, this is one thing I wanted to tell you before, because I'm sitting on an iPad right now and I don't see what you see. So there is no three dots somewhere.
I don't have them either, and I'm on a laptop.
Huh.
I have gallery view. Let's see if I change it.
Well, how do you, no, you don't have the three dots on your laptop inside your rectangle with your picture?
Oh, nope. Inside my picture.
Okay. Inside your rectangle. Yeah, you do on a laptop. That's why you don't want to use the tablet, Patrick.
Yeah.
I'm only using that for today, right? Because I wanted to also.
Oh yeah, pin video. So whose video do you pin?
Well, if you click pin video, then you can click anybody's image and pin it.
Yeah. Okay, but I could do you.
I think you can.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a learning. Thank you.
Yeah. There you go. The students could do that with each other, which could be a little creepy during an ATM. I mean, but.
I don't know if I'd have the students do that. I think that would be more.
But during a discussion, if you know, you could see how somebody is responding. But there are these options here, and there are ways to use them for good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I didn't know that. So I think it's going to be very exciting, and who knows how long this is going to go on. So,
Well, but I think it also means that it opens up the possibility for how we can think about incorporating this. You know, in trainings, like to meet between a segment, uh-huh. Or one day a month between segments or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's a great, I mean, I also I had the plan to look into all that anyhow now, because it's going to be the future. I mean, we can't just neglect having these kind of medias. So for me, it's really an opportunity. And I mean, I had to close down everything until after Easter, which is April 19th. I have 5 weeks of teaching in different training programs in between. And by the end of these 5 weeks, I will know how to do it, I'm sure.
Yeah, you will.
Mm-hmm. And I just hope that the trainees are loyal enough to stay with me. That's basically a really, I don't know, some already called in and said, well, we are performers or artists and we won't make any money during the next weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm of course helping them as much as possible, and we're going to see. It's really a very, very different situation.
Well, there was a poem that came through in my dance community that, yes, all of this is happening, but she said, think of it like the Sabbath, like it's a time of rest, to draw inward, to reflect, to learn. It's a wonderful opportunity for learning that we can do online. And hopefully that will carry us through. So there's, the polarity, two sides, two ways to look at it.
You know, what I like to say is, our method is about being our own authority. And it's about learning for ourselves. No one else can learn for us. But it doesn't mean we have to learn by ourselves. And
this is great.
But we have training.
Yeah. But I mean, this is a way that we can continue going. And, you can't force anyone to come, Patrick. So, it might, some people might not want to do that. And you can't predict what's going to happen.
Right. So, just like them, maybe you'll lose some work, but maybe you'll gain other work. Because as we said yesterday, our work, we can do it online like this.
Yeah, we can. I mean, it's going to be a new frontier for everybody.
Yeah.
But we're all in it together, and we're going to get through it together, not alone.
Yeah, so it's great that you brought this to us, Larry, and it would be nice if many other trainers could get together and work out, how to do this together. That would be good.
Well, like Patrick said, I think, what do we say in English? That necessity is the mother of invention. I think it'll inspire us to be the future. What I hope is when we're past this, that we figure out how to integrate this into what we're doing, not replace it, but add. It's not about subtraction.
Actually, in the trainings that I've been part of, I saw that some people fell through the cracks. And so having in between segment connection, which can be done by Zoom, I think it would be very useful if it's not happening already.
I find it a really useful way to have office hours. When I worked at the university, I would have office hours where students could drop in. So that's easy to do through Zoom to make it available or make it give times where people can make appointments.
So there are a lot of possibilities.
Yes.
All right, Patrick.
Thanks a lot to all of you, to both of you. And I'm really curious and excited, sort of, and frightened also. Not about whether I lose students, that's not really it, but we don't know what's going on here. I mean, it could be just that the whole continent is totally shutting down, and that's pretty scary. And I mean, you are probably only a few weeks behind us, so this is just.
Well, and you guys have tests. We don't have tests. And the other thing we don't have is toilet paper. There is no toilet paper at any stores because people have been hoarding it.
Okay. That is hysterical. Actually, I figured out a go around for that is if really we run out of toilet paper, I have lots of Kleenex. So I just won't put it in the toilet. Just, you know, like in the country where you can't flush things down the toilet. You just have a...
Yes, you know, people should think that toilet paper is a recent invention and people figured out what to do beforehand. And I think we will leave that for another website or conversation.
Okay.
You know, this guy.
Okay, but I did hear yesterday, I heard Trump say there's going to be free testing, Larry, and that there are going to be tests. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, look, the World Health Organization released the guidelines for tests on January 11th.
Yeah.
We're in March. Our government is way behind. And if we don't have tests, you know, we don't know how many people who aren't showing symptoms are sick. And we need to know that.
Yeah, but they're not going to test people who aren't showing symptoms. That's the thing.
Yeah, they can't even do, we have tests, but you have to have symptoms and you have to have either contact with an infected person or you must have been in an area where infections are have outbreaks.
Yes, well, that's why the curve looks different in Italy than it does in Taiwan or Singapore or South Korea, you know, because there they have been testing people, everybody.
Yeah.
That's what we need. I mean, anyways, let's not have a conversation about that here. Great to see you, Patrick. Nice to see you again, Peggy.
Yes.
A few times this week.
What?
Been a few times seeing you this week.
And Patrick, I do recommend at least once get on AY a day.
I'm not sure if I manage to do that tomorrow or the day after, and then to start teaching.
How about tonight? We have one coming in six hours.
It's already getting to 9 o'clock in the evening. I have been working all day long. My wife. I won't do anything tonight after this.
No, it would be 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. your time.
So 8 a.m. would be one for you and be the middle of your day. But, even if you just get on for 10 minutes to see how it's run.
How it's done, that would be probably good.
Your work.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's a well-meaning group of people who are supporting each other. It's really nice to be a part of.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm here and reachable. If you want to talk some more, it's great to connect. Nice to see you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Yeah.